Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, get your Bibles out. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. While you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a little story. You're fired. The words hit him like a ton of bricks. Took his breath away. In fact, it felt much like when he was a child falling off the swings and the breath was taken completely out of his lungs. As he gathered his thoughts and his belongings, he left for the last time, wondering what life was going to be like in the future. One day he'd gone from working in a high rise to working on a high rise, found himself a job behind a wheelbarrow, pushing cinder blocks up to be put in place by the tradesmen. It was backbreaking labor. Really, the only thing that kept him at it was his faith in God and the fact that he had little ones at home that he needed to put food on the table for. Now, the boss was no help. The boss artfully used curse words to put down the employees, thinking that that would motivate them. Some of you guys know the type. In fact, sailors and drill sergeants would blush at some of the crude curse words and the ways that he would artfully craft his language. And after a while, the man could no longer put up with it. He felt just discouraged. He felt deflated. Couldn't believe what was going on. His first week on the job, he felt like a failure. Felt like he couldn't go on anymore. And while he was mustering up the courage and the strength to go in to face this mean-spirited boss and tell him that he wasn't going to show up for work the next day and brace himself for what was about ready to happen, the boss approached him, much to his surprise. He was holding a little white envelope, and he walked up to him and said, "Hey, here's your first week's salary. And by the way, there's a lady in accounting says that she knows you, says that she goes to church with you, and she seems to think you're a really good guy. Who'd have thought, huh?" And the boss left him there with his jaw wide open and walked away. The man stood there for a moment thinking about what just happened and considering the fact that for the first time he had heard his boss speak without using a cuss word. And while he pondered on this, he realized, "I wonder how much I got paid." So he opened up the envelope, found the check, but with the check he found something else. He found a little note in it from the woman who knew him from the accounting department. And the words of that note said something very simple and yet very profound. It said, "When one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer with it. Just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you these days." Tonight I want to talk to you about the subject of encouragement. We all need it. Even your pastor needs it. Everybody needs encouragement. All of us struggle from time to time. We can all get discouraged. Sometimes life just happens and we get discouraged. Sometimes you look at the news reports and the things that we've been struggling with as a nation are still happening. They're still going on. Things are still not resolved and you can get discouraged. Sometimes the grind, sometimes the drive, sometimes the monotony, sometimes the lack thereof, right? Sometimes it's not that there's so much activity. Sometimes there's no activity and you just get discouraged. And it's in these times that we have to understand what encouragement is really all about. You've heard our founding pastor, Pastor Jim Cobray, he said this many times, that people will only go as far as they are encouraged. It's vitally important for us to understand encouragement and what the Word of God has to say, because did you know that your God is an encouraging God? Did you know you can't get around God without being built up and strengthened and encouraged? Even in your weakest moments, God still has the ability somehow to put strength in you. You could be dying all around. You could be having a breakdown. You could be just totally in a place of loss in the hardest moment of your life. But the moment you get around God, all of a sudden you've got the strength to stand. And even though God may bring something to you that might feel like it's wounding you or hurting you or maybe you feel like God just knocked the wind out of your sails or something happened, even though you might feel like God may be working against you, the fact is God is for you. And you're encouraged. Why? Because, well, hey, Even if God's stopping me, or even if God is holding me back, or even God's doing something, God's good and he's up to something good and he has a purpose and a reason for this. You just get around God, you get encouraged. Tonight, maybe you haven't been encouraged. Tonight, maybe you came in discouraged. Maybe tonight, you don't need any encouragement, but you know what? There's gonna come a time where you need it or someone else around you needs it. And so I wanna just give you a couple of things about how to be encouraged. How to be encouraged. First thing is this, if we're gonna be encouraged, gotta know how to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Gotta know how to build yourself up in faith. I had you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 is quite an interesting chapter. If you have time, I would encourage you to take a look at this story. King David at the time was out of the nation of Israel. He's in a place called Ziklag. There in Ziklag, him and his mighty men, they would go out on raids secretly. They were in the territory of the Philistines, and they had given him Ziklag, and so he was staying there, and him and all his men, all their families, everybody, and they would go out on these raids, and as they would come back, they would bring back the spoils secretly back to their camp. So during this time that they went out, and they were going out, and they were raiding, they were doing different things, that somebody came into Ziklag where David's family was, and they raided the camp. They raided the town. They took all of the women. They took all the children. They took all the goods. They burned it with fire, and they left. Now, you can imagine the feeling and the rush of emotions that David and his mighty men had as they came back to Ziklag, seeing smoke coming up from the place where they were going. How their hearts must have dropped, how they must have been discouraged. In fact, the Bible records in 1 Samuel chapter number 30 that as they approached Ziklag and as they started to see what was going on and as they realized really what had happened, they looked around and they sat down and they wept until they had no more strength to weep. Can you imagine a big warrior? I mean, I picture Mel Gibson in Braveheart, right, with the blue paint on his face, just sitting down and crying and sobbing and just weeping, you know, and this big, burly man, barrel-chested with a sword at his side, just sobbing and crying until he has no more strength to cry. We've all had those moments, haven't we? We're middle of the night, we've been up, we've been under stress, we've been under pressure, and we've cried and cried and cried and cried and cried until we had no more tears left in us. My goodness. But then the Bible records something very interesting. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verse number 6, it says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." Now, if you don't know what that means, stoning him meant that they were going to throw stones at him until he died. So in other words, they were going to kill him. Here are the men who had followed David into battle. Here are the men who had pledged their lives to him, and now they want to kill him because they were mad about the fact that their sons and daughters had been taken away from them. So they said, "Let's kill David. This is wrong." And I can imagine David was greatly distressed. You got those type of guys that are going out raiding with you, and now they want to turn on you and kill you. You got problems. But look at what David does. David doesn't just say, "All right, boys, start casting stones. I deserve this." He doesn't roll over and die. He doesn't run for his life. He doesn't keep crying. Look at what David does in the rest of the verse, verse number 6. It says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's an amazing statement. See, we can get so discouraged that we forget about God. We can get so discouraged that we go away from God and we say, "God, why are you doing this to me? God, why has this happened? God, everything's gone. Everything's been stolen. God, I don't have anything left. God, I might as well roll over and die." And yet David shows us something different. He says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David prayed. David sought God. David actually calls for the priest and they consult God. What should we do? And the Lord gives them a plan moving forward. And guess what? They recover everything. All the women, all the children, all the goods. They overtake the guys who had taken all their stuff and they get everything back. See, it is not over until God says it's over. But if you never go to God, you'll never hear the word that it ain't over yet. If you stay in your discouragement, then you will be the one deciding that it's over. But if you go to God, God will give you the plan. God will encourage you. God will strengthen you. God will give you the grace you need to move forward and to move past the discouragement. Why? Because you can't get around God without getting encouraged, without getting built, without getting strengthened, without getting his nature, imparting his grace, his ability on your behalf. And now all of a sudden, you can face the day and you can recover everything. Come on, is somebody listening tonight? See, our primary connection with God, if you're going to strengthen yourself in the Lord, our primary connection with God is in prayer, where you just take it to God. You know, I love the scene in the movie, The Apostle, great movie, you know, theologically, I don't know, you know, but some great stuff in that movie. And there was a scene where he was up in the middle of the night, he's at his mom's house and he's upstairs and he's just shouting. He's just mad and he's yelling. And one of the neighbors comes over and knocks on the door, and the mom answers the door, and she says, "Can I help you?" And he says, "Hey, there's all sorts of shouting going on." She goes, "Oh, he's praying." "He's praying? What kind of praying is that?" "Well, sometimes he talks, sometimes he shouts." And then she closes the door. See, I know in my own prayer times, there have been times where I've had to get just real with God. Just raw. "God, this stinks." See, when you first get saved, you don't know if that's appropriate prayer language, right? Sometimes you don't know, so you just do it anyways, and you didn't realize that, you know, you were supposed to say, you know, the these and the thous and be holy and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes we unlearn some good habits. The Bible says that God desires truth in the inward parts. And when you can bring to God your discouragement and unpack it for him, God already knows. He already sees beyond the surface level. You can have the biggest smile plastered to your face. If you're dying inside, God knows it. If you're discouraged, he knows it. And he understands it. Jesus robed himself in flesh and was tempted as we are, yet was without sin. He came and he lived in a flesh body. When Jesus' friend Lazarus died, the Bible says he asked to go see the place where he lay. And when he went to that place, even though he knew what he was going to do, because he'd already told the disciples, "I go to wake him up." He already knew what he's going to do. But even in that, Jesus came to a place where he saw the place where he laid and he wept. Jesus understands your emotion. He understands your hurt. He understands your pain. But listen, when you start to get around Jesus, things that you thought were dead start to resurrect and come back to life. Because you can't get around God without getting encouraged. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 in the New Testament says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Building yourselves up in your most holy faith. You can strengthen yourself. Each and every believer has a responsibility that when you are discouraged, when you feel weak, when you feel like you can't go on, that you go and you build yourself up in the most holy faith. It's just like eating. Tonight, I wanted to make a healthy choice with my dinner. And so I decided that I was going to go to one of those juice places and pick up something that tasted like they just got it off of the clippings of a lawnmower and drink that for dinner tonight. See, it's not always the popular thing to do. It's not always comfortable. It doesn't always feel good to go to God and tell God, "I'm hurting, I'm discouraged, and I need encouragement." Sometimes you don't have the time in the day to make the healthy choice. Sometimes you've got pressures, you've got demands, you've got the kids yelling at you, you got to pack lunches, there's soccer games, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And yet, if you are discouraged, you have the responsibility to do the tough thing. And to take it to God and say, "God, you know what? I need to be encouraged. I need to strengthen myself and stay off the junk food, get the good food, and get it in you," because you can build yourself up in your most holy faith. Now look at what he says, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's a faith-filled, focused, fervent prayer towards the Lord. Sometimes that's in English. Sometimes that's in Spanish, if that's the language you pray in. Sometimes that's praying in tongues, if you have that prayer language. The Bible says that he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. You can build yourself up as you pray in the Holy Ghost. As you start to pray, yeah, your understanding is unfruitful, but there's something going on spiritually that you're building yourself up. It's in those moments that the book of Romans says that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf with groans and utterances that can't even be uttered. There are times where your prayer life will go from, oh Lord, to you just can't even say anything. You're travailing in prayer, and now the Holy Spirit takes those groans. Sometimes all you can do in the presence of the Lord is cry and sigh and moan and groan. Listen, if that's all you got, that's all you need, because the Holy Spirit is able to turn that into a prayer. That's our God. That's amazing. But you got to get into the presence of God. You've got to take him your cares, cast your cares on the Lord, because he cares for you. That in itself should be an encouraging thought, that the God of the universe, creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who made everything, the one who knows you inside and out, cares for you and knows exactly where you're at. How to be encouraged. First thing is to build yourself up in faith. Second thing is this, is look to the faithfulness of God. Look to the faithfulness of God. Each and every one of us have traveled a road. Each and every one of us have walked through this life. There's a journey. And along the road, God has done some amazing things in your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care where your journey has taken you. God has been there every step of the way. You know, you might have been a mess up, a screw up. You might have been, you know, somebody who wasn't really the star person. You might have been the underdog. You might have been somebody who put yourself in that position. You could have been a gangster. You could have been a business person seeking pleasure and fame. And wherever your road has taken you, God has been on that journey with you. God knows the road that you've traveled, and it was God who kept you alive. It was God who brought you to himself. It was God who knew the steps to get you on track. It was God who healed you. It was God who restored you. Come on, somebody. Has God done anything in your life? Has God saved you? Has God raised you up? Has God healed you? Has God blessed you? Has he blessed your children? Has he blessed your family? Has he put you in a family? Has he given you a new nature? Has he given you his grace? Has he given you everything that you have? I mean, has God done anything for anybody in this place? Remember that old song? When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. Right? I'll skip to the chorus. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you. See, just think about what the Lord's done. That on the road, if you have to go back mentally down the road that you've traveled and put some roadside monuments, if you need to put marker number one, marker number two, historic landmark number 637 along the road, so that when you start to get discouraged, all you got to do is look back at the lights all the way down the road and say, I can show you what God has done for me. I may be discouraged right here, but look at what God did here, and 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 look at what God did here. See, now you got a track record of God's faithfulness. Every story in the Bible is there so that you know that God has done something on the planet, that God's been faithful, that God's been good, that God is up to something on the back end, and you may not know it. You may not understand. You know, there's some interesting things in the Bible. You know, a nation could split apart. They gather up the army and they're ready to go to war. And all of a sudden, the prophet speaks and says, no, this is from the Lord. I'm sorry, what? This is from the Lord. And so they hold their peace, and they don't go to war. See, sometimes the tragedies and the things that discourage us, we need to get a God perspective on. This is from the Lord. God's up to something on the back end. God's doing something. God's leading us. You just don't make the mistake they made. They didn't stick with God. They didn't hold on to God. They started worshiping idols. They started allowing their hearts to wander from God. But see, if God's up to something, and this is from the Lord, even though it may be adverse, even though it may be a trial, it may be something that we don't understand, but if this thing's from the Lord, then guess what? I'm going to put a smile on my face, because God's up to something good, because God is good. Remember his faithfulness. Psalm 105, verse 4 and 5. I'm going to put it up in the New Living Translation. I like the way it said it in the New Living Translation. Psalm 105, verse 4 and 5 in the NLT says this: search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. That should be the aim of every Christian. That should be the aim of every person who's discouraged. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Verse 5, remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles and the rulings he has given. See, if you have a hard time remembering, it's time to start writing some stuff down. If you have a hard time remembering, it's time to open up the book again. Because this is a record of God's faithfulness from cover to cover. This shows you the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the price that God paid and the journey he went on in order to redeem and rescue and restore fallen humanity. God is after each and every one of us. Like we sang tonight, your love is fierce. He's relentless. He will not be brought off of the course that he is on. God is faithful. Remember his miracle. Remember. We need to remember that God is faithful. An interesting word search in the Bible is how many times the Bible says that God is faithful. You know why it says it over and over and over again? Because we need to remember. We need to be reminded that, you know what? Today may look dark, but tomorrow's coming. We need to be reminded, yeah, it might be tough right now, but listen, remember what happened back then. I wasn't as strong then as I am now. And God must think I'm stronger now because this is greater than that was. I made it through that. That's why David had to remember, I fought the lion and the bear, this Philistine giant. He'll be like one of them. That's why in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells him, remember the statutes and the ordinances which I've given you today, lest you wander from God. See, all the pressures, all the problems, all the trials are designed to get us off track with God. But God's saying, remember I'm faithful. Remember I'm here. Remember I'm in your corner. Remember that you have the grace of God. Remember you have the strength. Remember my word is available to you. Remember all the promises. Remember I got you through all those trials in the past and you'll be able to handle the pressures of the future. Remember, remember, remember. Last thing for this tonight. Anybody encouraged yet? I got one more for you. Is this, don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. Yeah, you can build yourself up in your most holy faith. Yes, you can remember God's faithfulness, but don't go it alone. God did not design us to be an island unto ourselves and just to, just me. Okay, I guess I'll let God into, right? That's not how God designed us to be in a community of believers. And God has designed church and God has designed your brothers and your sisters to be encouragers. Do you know that? There's times where the Apostle Paul asks for prayer. Think about that for a second. This is the great apostle. This is the one who had the revelations. This is the one who probably was the one he was talking about caught up into the third heaven. This is the one who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You need encouragement? You need prayer? You got discouraged? In fact, he says there was times where they just loathed even life itself. They were discouraged. And there was times, you can find them in the end of the book of Romans and the end of the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul says, please pray for me. I need your prayer. Now, can I ask you something? If the great apostle needed others to pray for him and needed others to encourage him, because he said there was times where they were discouraged, but then Titus came along. There were times where he was discouraged and he was wondering, he was concerned, the care of the church was on him. And when we could finally stand it no more, we sent Timothy, because we said it's better to send Timothy and us be alone than to have Timothy be with us and we'd be pressured and stressed about this problem and this trial that's going on right now. And so I just got to send Timothy. But then Timothy came back and I was encouraged because I heard about your faith. See, if the Apostle Paul, the great apostle, the one who had, been knocked off his horse by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, if he needed prayer, if he needed encouragement, if he needed community, then what makes us think, I got this, I can do it alone? We need others. We need people in our life, and we don't need to go it alone. We need to be in community. We need to be in faith. We need to be around people who say, you can do it. I've been there before. I made it. Guess what? You can make it. Amen. Sometimes we need to get around people who haven't been through what we've been through, but just by the nature of the fact that they're encouraging, we want to be around them. You got anybody like that in your life? They don't know what you're going through, and honestly, they don't really care. They're just there to say, come on, brother, you could do it. Hey, sis, come on, go for it. You got this. Come on, let's go. God in you is greater than he that's in the world. Come on, let's go. Let's do it. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. It's okay. You had a good cry. Sometimes there's people who have a cry ministry. They will cry with you, and afterwards, they will dab your tears and say, okay, honey, it's time to go. Time to get on. Time to do it. We're not going to sit here and cry anymore. Now we're going to go beat some devil butt. And now we're going to go take on the world, and I got your back. Sometimes you need that dude in the corner of the ring that says, get up, you bum. Come on, you can do it. You're doing the wrong thing. Sometimes you need that, right? We all need that. Sometimes we need a good kick in the pants. But we need other people who are outside of us, because we can be so hard on ourselves and we can be so easy on ourselves, right? There's times where we just want to know, the world is really hard, and I just don't understand why the devil's so mean, and this is really unfair. No one else is going through this. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Have you read the news? Have you looked around lately? Everybody's going through problems. Everybody's going through trials. Your sufferings are not unique. In fact, you can read in the Bible, there's people all over the world that are enduring the same sufferings, if not more, greater. Harder. Nobody's busting down our doors, putting a gun to our head, saying, renounce Christ or die. No one's doing that. So listen, we should be encouraged. We should be encouraged. My goodness. And as you get around a community of believers, God will use them to encourage your life. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, turn there with me. You guys still being encouraged? Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter number 10, turn there with me. Verse number 24 and verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this. It says, and let us consider one another. That's a good statement right there. We could just camp there for a minute. Let us consider one another. Don't be considering just yourself. It's time to take your eyes and lift them up off yourself and start looking around. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We can get stagnant on our own. We need somebody to fan the coals into flame. We need somebody to stir us up. Sometimes we can get separated like that juice I drank tonight. I had to stir it up. I had to shake it up in order to get all the nastiness mixed around so that it tasted extra nasty when I drank it. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You got to get the whole thing. You got to get the effectiveness. You got to get stuff going on. That's why the book of Galatians says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But look at the next verse, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Some people stop coming to church because they say, I got this. I'm good. I can have a relationship with God by myself. I can just do my thing. I can listen to Christian radio. I can watch live stream messages. I can read my Bible. I can pray on my own. Yes, you can, but the Bible says you shouldn't. You can have a great relationship with God, but you shouldn't do it alone. You should be in a community of believers. That's what church is all about, is the gathering of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the edification of the body, Ephesians chapter 4, for the building up of itself in love. There's something that takes place when you come to church and one of the greeters is just crazy and he's shouting and he's dancing and he's jumping up and down and he says, hallelujah, it's going to be a fantabulous day. There's something that happens when you come into a church service like that. There's something that happens when the dude that's behind the hot dog stand has a hot dog bun on his head and he's saying, praise the Lord, can I get you one? Or can I get, see, something happens when you get in a community of people. Something happens when a guy shakes your hand at the back door and he sounds like Chewbacca and he says, hey, that was a great message, pastor. See, there's something that happens in a community of believers. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but exhorting one another. Most of the translations you'll find say encouraging one another. encouraging. When you know you have a ministry in this church, even if you are not a volunteer, even if you don't have the schedule and the ability to put in time, you have a ministry, you have a part in the body of Christ. You are a functional believer and you have a ministry of edification. You are to edify the body. You are to encourage people. As you sit there and you smile at other people, as someone raises their hand for the first time and you say, welcome, as you pray for this place, as you say, you know what, God, this person's face is in my mind. I just want to pray for them. God bless them. Encourage them. I don't know what they're going through, but God, you do. And you take care of their needs. See, you have a ministry in this church that God has called you to. Come on, somebody. You do. God will use you to build the body of Christ. And as the body edifies itself, builds itself up, encourages itself in love, the Bible says that we grow, that we become more mature, and that we have more effectiveness out there in the world. My goodness, when we start to love one another like Christ has called us to love one another, it will be irresistible. People will be coming in off the streets like, I don't know what you guys got, but I need it. Somebody was working next to me and they were just beaming with love and they loved me so much and they invited me to church. And I said, man, if that person who's so loving has a church, I gotta go find out what's going on at that church. See, that's what's gonna happen when we start to operate as the body of Christ. When we start to take our place and do what God has called us to do, it's called unity, it's called oneness, it's called love, and God wants us to operate in it, but you can't go at it alone. You got to get into the house and you got to get together with other believers. Hallelujah. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming soon, and we're going to have to do this together. We need each other. What did we learn tonight? How to be encouraged. Number one, build yourself up in faith. Number two, look to the faithfulness of God. And number three, we learned, don't go at it alone. Did you guys get something from the word tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.